Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody beat.
Dude, I am loving my setup here in the dressing rooms of Carol's Second Act, which is premiering on CBS September 26th at 9:30 p.m. Who'd I have here last night? Well, none other than the Emmy Award-winning writer of HBO's Barry. She's one of the writers there. She is a friend of mine. She is a friend of yours. She's currently writing on Search Party. Put your hands together and your ears open and just basically listen to my podcast with Emily Heller. Oh, we are on the air and we are together. My name's Sabrina.
And my name's Emily. Is
and
that
we're
how this
works? This is the first time I've started this way.
And welcome to
Buy a Timeshare. I feel like we could probably sell stuff together. You're a good friend of mine, and I love to see you again.
Yeah, it's so good to see you. I was like, that's not related to our pitches. We got to figure out what we're selling.
Yeah, I think we would be selling, you love deviled eggs. Like a devil. I love
Here's
contraptions.
I don't think I could be an effective deviled egg salesman because I would just eat them before they got to the customers.
I think that what we're selling is beyond deviled eggs. I think we go beyond. We're making like the machine that makes the deviled egg. You put an egg in it and it comes out deviled.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. We'll get, you know,
yeah.
scientists
well, okay.
to do them.
I mean, I think that that probably is a thing that you can make for like the yolks. Like you put the yolks in and then you can squeeze them into the white
it
of the egg.
You put the egg in, it cracks it, it separates. Oh, no, wait. How do you do it? No, it first it would crack.
It
no,
would
first it
boil
would boil
it.
The egg. Yes, this is how the contraption works. Put the egg in, it
okay.
boils the egg.
If we're going to sell these fucking eggs, you have got to know what a deviled egg is. We
Ooh,
are
that's a
get.
Spicy tip.
We are going to get destroyed in the marketplace.
It's an egg with horns. It casts spells.
The reason why we started talking about deviled eggs is because you are acting on a multicam right now. And
yes. And we're recording this from the dressing
yeah,
room.
And you offered me food from Craft Services. And I was remembering when I was on a multicam, I would just eat so many deviled eggs from Craft Services, which was such a rude thing to do when I had to go out on stage and act with people who were not allowed to react to my farts.
I've definitely farted in scenes and then pretended it wasn't me. Well, that's the only thing you can do. You got to blame it on a day player.
Yeah, and get them fired.
Yes.
The power goes to your head right away.
I did a set last night and was talking about how great this job was. And in the set, I was like, you guys, everyone just like go be on a sitcom. And then Zach Noe Towers went up after me and was like, fuck Sabrina. Just up here being like my aunt at Christmas, like just get on SNL. Like, it just takes four episodes to be completely disconnected.
Yeah, just be like, it just happens.
It's
you
just
can't
such
even
a
try.
Good job. All the snacks, all the time. This room is like one of my favorite parts of it. Shauna made it so comfy. It's just like a room of one's own that
yeah.
like everyone wouldn't like. That's like what everyone in a perfect world would have is like during work a room they can go to fart in and light a candle
uh-huh.
and eat snacks.
Yeah. What do you do when it's not your turn to be on stage? Because I used to just watch a lot of Will and Grace.
This afternoon, Patty came over and we put on Forgetting Sarah Marshall on the TV,
okay.
but then just talk shit about our spouses. Not shit. We were just talking about marriage. And
do you think Shauna's going to listen to your podcast?
Probably not.
Okay.
No. She doesn't listen to podcasts, but maybe now that...
I always get lulled into a false sense of security around whether my loved ones listen to my podcast, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, someone, whether it's my husband or my parents or someone, will be like, I listened to your podcast.
Oh, God.
I heard what you said about me.
Yeah. Just the amount of... because podcasts just feel like they're going into space for no one to hear.
Right. Yeah. I just assume that it's my own head.
Because especially if it's like you're recording with someone you like, then it just feels like a conversation. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know. But any shway, how's your marriage?
My marriage is great.
Give me the scoop. What's Peter up to? What was your last fight? How do you get through it? Have you been to counseling?
I truly can't talk about any of that.
Really?
Yeah. It's not. It's so weird because like...
I invited you here to destroy your fucking marriage.
Is this a marriage podcast?
This is a podcast where I bring people on to see if I can break them up with their partners. No, this is a podcast. It's called The Goody Goody, and it's just basically like what's good. And what I like to know is like goody goody, like tips and things. Like, so one of them would be deviled eggs.
One of them would, I don't know if I recommend deviled eggs.
I don't know if I'm branding you properly by just continuously repeating that you love deviled eggs. You've got to meet Emily.
Here's the thing, though. You know how
she's a comic, she loves deviled eggs.
You know how, like, when Doug Benson does a show, like, people just throw weed on the stage? I want people to bring me deviled eggs.
Yes.
So this is the first time I've actually properly been branded.
Okay, good.
My marriage is good, but my husband's like, it's weird because like I think you're probably the same way. I think a lot of comedians are the same way, where it's like everyone's allowed to know everything about me and I don't care. And I'm married to someone for whom that is not his opinion. And it's
probably
like
Shauna too. She doesn't like that I'm constantly secretly Instagramming her. Ooh, she's breastfeeding. Perfect for a story. I do like putting... She's okay with breastfeeding stories. I feel like it's so crazy that people are... I showed someone a picture today of Shauna breastfeeding and they were like, oh, I don't need to see that. It's like the way that every human came into the world, and like also just a tit whose nipple... The nipple's covered by his
also,
head.
Also, who doesn't want to see a tit?
Who doesn't want to see the beauty of a milkshake coming out of a tit into the joyful face of a child?
I feel like the weirdness too about people being like, well, a boob is sexual, is it's like, welcome to 2019, people can jerk off to anything.
You're
not gonna be able to stop someone from jerking off to you just because you didn't show them your nipple. Like, they're gonna find a way.
I'm not sure exactly where we're at, but I agree completely. Cause
I just mean like, because it's like we're in the age of wiki feet. We're in the age of like,
people can
love,
look
like,
up everything.
If you sit on a cake, that's the thing for someone. Like if you, you know what I mean? Like, it's
like a
no
boob
longer
is the
just
most vanilla. Like if you could only get someone to come from a boob. Just the good old days.
I just feel like, I'm not in control of whether someone's going to jerk off to a picture of me. So if I was breastfeeding, it's like...
Well, Shauna breastfeeding has made me so free the nipple, where I used to be like, when people were like, free the nipple, I'd be like, let's just get rape under control first before we start negotiating for nipples. But now that Shauna's breastfeeding, it's just like so psychotic to me that we can't show our breast. Like the gender that feeds the world is from like that, the way everyone enters the world through this nutrition coming out of this breast, that specific one is the one that it's like, put it away, you whore.
Yeah. It's
and it
very...
makes me realize, like, you know, I've been like writing about it, but like my father's family's Pakistani, and my friends would be like, dude, your aunts cover their hair because like they want to, or are they being forced to? And I'm realizing like, oh my God, like a bikini top is just a nipple hijab. Like, you know, it is. And we look at it like we think it's normal. But like, especially when I'm like in Palm Springs by the pool, it's like, do not tell me to put my top back on. I'm with my son. I'm with my family right now.
I'm with my children.
At the Saguaro in Palm Springs, I've been asked 3 times in 1 day to put my top back on. They call me relentless
it's
titties.
Amazing that you do that.
Just at a hotel.
It's
just like soggy and wet, and I don't want it. My tits are always have just a layer of wet on them.
I will say this about my marriage. A very frequent feature of it.
I can already tell you're just, I'm in good hands with you as a podcast guest.
My husband will come home and just see my bra on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Because I just take it off as I walk through the door, like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And he's just like, we're just, you're going to leave it here?
is any of you tidy or... You got to get someone to come in.
And someone comes in.
Yeah.
And I've tried to be tidier because my husband is very tidy. But
He is tidy.
Yeah, but I need to get my bra off right away. And especially if I'm like on the couch watching TV, I'm just like, I'm not going to. The whole point of taking my bra off is I'm feeling very lazy right now. Yeah. So I'm not going to carry it into
the bedroom. Are you wearing a bra right now?
I am, yeah.
Should we take our bras off?
Maybe. Am I going to have to put it back on before I
go? No, no one's going to be here by the time we leave. And also, if they are, who cares?
Yeah. Also, I'm wearing a pretty thick shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, we're taking our bras off now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, already getting an episode title. The braless. Make sure we get that sound on the mic there.
I will say, this bra that I'm taking off right now has not been bothering me the way other ones have. Like, I found one. I'm always on the hunt.
This is sound of my titties dropping.
No wonder they kicked you out of the hotel in Palm Springs.
The heaviest breasts in America.
They're like, you're displacing too much water from the pool. Could you just strap those things in?
Ma'am, you've knocked a child out cold.
Everyone is too horny right now. But I buy like every bra that Facebook advertises to me or Instagram or whatever. I guess
I
don't go on Facebook anymore. It's been a long time since I've found a new bra to buy. But
yeah,
this one I bought, I now own four of these.
What is the brand?
It's a Champion.
Okay.
It's technically a sports bra.
Okay.
But I don't do sports.
You've got double the size tits as me.
Do I? What's your cup size?
Ooh, that's a spicy tip. my cup size is just, I'm wearing, I wear a Calvin Klein sports bra, extra large.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything. God, get out of my life.
You would, I bet. Do you want to try my bra?
No, I'm not putting another bra on.
I know.
Don't oppress me.
That don't oppress me much.
It's like a maximum support. I'm like a C or a D cup, depending on how fat I am.
Yeah.
Weirdly, when I get fatter, my cup size goes down.
That's hilarious.
Because my band size goes up. Because
it goes wider.
Yeah, it goes wider. So like I gained weight recently and went down a cup size, even though my boobs technically did get bigger. You guys, cup size does not refer to the size of your breasts, merely the difference between your breast and the rest of your body.
Lessons!
Yes.
Yes.
I love it.
Let's get to this.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit. What are you going through?
Oh man, I am going through a very weird period of my life right now where I recently turned extremely old.
What? How old did you turn?
No, I just like sort of not age wise.
In your spirit.
Just in my spirit, in that I gave in and I bought a really ugly sun hat.
Okay.
So that I can garden in it.
Oh,
and
that's
it was
so
like,
good. Because you bought your house a couple years ago?
Yeah, like a little over a year ago. And
so
we
good.
Like finally basically finished decorating the inside. And I immediately was like, well, now I got to do the garden. Now I got to start. And my brother's been growing all these vegetables and I got really jealous. And so I was like, I have this big flat yard. I should be able to grow some vegetables. And I just like went gung ho into it without knowing anything. And now I have to slow my roll. I haven't produced shit yet. My brother gave me, because it's very early.
I started
mid-summer, which is not a good time to do it.
Okay.
But he gave me a couple tomato plants, and those have produced tomatoes.
Okay.
And I've grown some herbs from seed. I got some basil, some chives, some dill that died before I could eat it. It was like really abundant, and I was afraid to harvest it, and then I didn't harvest it, and then it died.
Guys, remember, when your dill is abundant, you strike.
Eat it when
eat
it's
it.
Ready to be eaten.
What are you waiting for?
He gave me a kale plant that I've eaten some of, and I just planted cucumbers in my... I built like a raised bed, and like none of my...
sprouts survived except for this one cucumber that's
I truly never
out.
Thought that we'd be here.
It's a really weird thing. I don't know how I caught the bug, but like I just started.
It's satisfying.
It is. I'm hoping that it teaches me patience, because I don't know if you know that I am a very impatient
I'm
person.
Pretty impatient too.
Really?
Yeah, like, and that's like a thing in my relationship is like Shauna's like, what should be like the theme of what I wear? And I'm like, I've already called a Lyft. What do you like? Why I have to cancel so many Lyfts? I have to pay $5 so many times.
Do you ever tell her that you need to leave? That you need to leave earlier?
Yeah, but then I'm also like, you know what you were saying when you were saying, I'm someone that shares everything, and my partner doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking of.
We can change the subject.
No. I'm fine to share, but what I immediately thought of was, what was it? You know, when you are like in a sentence and then you like know that you're drifting far away from what you were talking about, and you're like, then you start thinking about that and you're like, I'll never find it again. I'll never know again. What the fuck was it?
You had, you dropped one oar in the water and then you just dropped the other one.
Now I'm just swimming titties out.
Yeah. I guess the boat's just going to spin here in the water for
a
while.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
About leaving the house, calling the Lyft.
Leaving the house, calling
your partner being private.
Partner being private. What the fuck? I feel like it's worth it.
What time did you get up today?
I got up at 6:30.
That is the one bad thing about being a multicam actor.
Oh yeah, you got to wake up a little early.
Yeah,
but
and also I don't like people touching my face or in hair that much.
You don't?
I like it in a sort of like ASMR kind of way. But I don't like it in the, like, I feel like, get off my body.
Really?
A little bit. I had to keep reminding myself that I was not being oppressed, you know?
Really?
Where I'm like, no, I'm actually getting paid a lot of money for this,
no,
but like.
People like go to Sephora and pay dozens of dollars for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And I think because I'm not the type of person who does that, I
me
was
neither.
Sort of like, you are oppressing me.
Yeah, you're trapping me.
Yeah, it was just kind of
you're painting shadows on my face.
Yeah, and I would also just like watch the guys come in and be like,
but I get,
you're done.
I get man makeup.
You do?
Yeah. I get the same makeup as
okay.
a man.
I wish I had gotten that.
I just get makeup, the same makeup as a man, and then I get a little bit of mascara.
Oh, you look great.
That's what I like about the makeup. I'm wearing makeup now. When you came in, when Emily came in, I was like,
I said, you smell like TV makeup.
And I was like, yeah, I keep it on as long as I can.
Yeah. And I would always just like, oh, get this shit off of me.
No, it just
Did
paints
it give you
your
the-
face in the way that like everyone's striving to be airbrushed, you know, because
yeah.
we just see pictures of airbrushed people and it's like, oh, I'm normal now. Now I'm good, society.
Yeah, every time like I do something on TV, everyone's like, your skin looks amazing. How did you do that? I'm like, someone painted that.
Literally just hundreds of thousands of
was
dollars
of lighting.
Was
that like a weird thing for me to
makeup.
Say that I get a lot of compliments on my skin?
No, I get compliments on my skin too. Yeah. I think that when you're not like traditionally an actor looking person,
yeah.
but you look good,
that's the
people
thing
are
people
like,
compliment.
Your skin.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm not going to fool you by complimenting the rest of you.
Yes, exactly.
But look at that skin.
Look at that section of your body.
Me saying this doesn't make me sound like I want to cut it off your body at all. Like, well, a serial killer.
It is a wild thing to be acting. And now I'm like, now I've like dropped in and I'm like chilling. But in the beginning, there was like a lot of like, oh my God, it's so crazy. I would like try and start conversations with like Ashley Tisdale, who's been famous since she was born, and being like, isn't it wild that like people are like treating us differently? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you can't talk to people who aren't doing it too, because yeah, you're just like, they're like, shut up, Richie Rich.
Oh, dude, I bleached my teeth, Zoom bleaching, which
you did?
If you're ever going to do that, just know, don't do it, and it hurts.
Oh, yeah,
but I did it, and I did it right before the TCAs, and so my teeth felt like they were being electrocuted during like this press conference.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, I did it, and it hurt so much, and then I went home, and I was crying because I had been like in the dentist feeling like so like vulnerable and like scared for the next day and the teeth. And Shauna had been taking care of Wolfie. This was like day three of like her back-to-back-to-back taking care of him. And I came home and I was like on the verge of tears and I was like, my teeth hurt. And she was like, yeah, take care of your son. Like, I have things to do.
My nipples hurt from breastfeeding.
My nipples hurt. My body hurts. My brain hurts. And I was like, I just like started crying even more because I was like, you don't care. And I'm going to be on camera tomorrow. Like, there's just like this other part of,
I can't believe you're fighting with me before tape night.
Before tape night, no less. But there is like, there's like a vanity that like kicks in because of the way that you're treated in this other part of your life that is like, you can see why people.
I had a hard time. I think it was like, and again, by hard time,
Emily was,
I mean,
on the Fox show Ground Floor.
TBS. I was on the second season, 10 episodes, series reg. It was very weird. It was like not, again, it was like, I mean, you've done a lot more acting than I had done before I got on it. So I was just like, what the fuck am I doing
My
here?
Acting has been fooling you into thinking I've done more acting.
Tell that to the headshots I Google image searched.
Oh, the headshots are literally what you pay for when you're trying to continue to go out for every audition.
I think I had like, by a hard time, I mean like it was fine. It was the easiest job in the world. But like, reconciling, I think it was like my weird sort of like angry feminist way of walking through the world with the fact that I actually had like a lot of money and power all of a sudden. Where like, again, like getting my hair and makeup done, I was like, I am being oppressed. This is the patriarchy being painted onto my face.
Yeah.
But then also like, I'm getting paid more money for the least amount of work I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
I can't complain about this. It just felt weird to be like, ugh, they're making me wear high heels. And then
high
there would
heels
be like,
is weird though. That should have been next.
Yeah, I agree. But, and then there was also like moments when I would be like at craft services and like I had just been on
high
camera. High heels is so weird.
Can I just say, just in this moment, a good
lessons
is like old. And I've been in that moment so many. I've like, I'll tell you a story in a moment. I can tell it now.
Yeah, wait, can I finish the thing?
Yeah,
I was saying?
You finish your thing.
The other thing was that like I was at craft services and there was like a moment where like a crew guy came up to me and started like quoting a joke I said on the show. And I had my like knee jerk gut reaction of like, I'm on the street and a strange man is talking to me and demanding my attention. And like, I do not owe him anything. But then I was like, no, I am in this situation.
But no flattery at all. Like, you weren't like, it's flattering that he remembers a joke.
No, because I didn't remember it.
Oh, okay.
It was like a line from the show and he was like, oh, you lost your shoes or something. And I was like, oh,
no, I didn't, sir.
And then it was like, oh, no, I have to be very nice to this person, even though I'm startled. And my gut instinct is to be like, remember, you don't owe this man your time. Like, yeah. And it's like, oh, no, actually, in this situation, I do. All of a sudden, it was just confusing for me.
Yeah.
Politically. Anyway.
Yeah, there is a lot of confusion. Well, I think that people aren't, it's like not a normal, it's like an experiment. Like,
I'm
let's
not,
see
yeah.
what would happen if everybody in a business started treating one person like everything they said was so funny. And like that experiment usually ends with like bad people.
Yeah, I'm like, I immediately understood why actors go crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes, yeah.
Because I started right away being like, am I good?
Yes.
Will someone tell me I'm good? That's why multicams are great, because you have an audience, so you don't need to like ask people for that anymore. But
and it's so great because we're like, that's what we've been doing, is like going in front of audiences. And that's when it feels real to me. Like every single cam acting thing I finish and I'm like, did I do something? It feels like I just sat in a trailer. It doesn't feel like anything was actually done. But like with that audience, it's like, okay, now it's official. We're now like putting on a show. Yeah.
Anyway, life lesson.
I like that. Well, that is like a true thing. Like I have like lost weight before we start shoot, or like during the shooting, because it's just like it feels nice to fit into smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also wasn't like, I didn't not like my body before. I was writing and I just wasn't being filmed all the time.
Yeah.
It just changes, your priorities change, where it's like it's worth it for me to like not eat my delicious cheesecake.
Oh man, I had some cheesecake yesterday.
Oh yeah.
A friend of mine is writing.
The second I get ridden off of this,
yeah,
I'm gaining 30
You're
pounds
like,
the next day.
Can my character get pregnant?
It is weird though, because I really like, I moved to LA and I gained like 40 pounds and I was like, it was the same thing as like when I visit my Muslim relatives and I leave and I'm like, I want to do all the drugs and fuck the women. You know, like you are in an oppressive culture and as like a fucking queer, rebellious, feminist, all of those things within your identity is like, let's fuck this system. Fuck this system right away. Cause I've like, you know, every woman I've dated has been like women who are thin. Every woman I've dated.
I had no idea where the sentence was going to end. So
I just didn't. I didn't need to say every woman I've dated. Yeah.
Let me just brag for a minute.
Just every woman, no matter what the shape of their body is or what they're like, they all feel weird about their body. So my, and I think this is like your feeling too, is just like, fuck it. Like, let me just fucking be, you know, and not be.
I feel like I think less weird about my body than most women I meet. And
me
so
too.
For me to be in that situation, yes, where like, I'm like, there's a part of me where I was like, oh, in some ways I'm better equipped for this, because like every single person that comes through this machine is told to lose weight and change how they look,
yes,
and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And like, for me, I was like, well, that's not actually going to work on me. But then also I'm like, but they are paying me for this. They didn't tell me to lose weight.
No one told me to lose weight either. But it really is.
Other women who weren't on the show.
No way.
I don't think I'm supposed to know that. But like I've heard that from like most shows. It's like they tell most women to lose weight when they're on. I was like, I had a very lucky thing happen where like when I went to my first fitting, they tried to put Spanx on me and it made me look fatter. And so I never had to wear Spanx. I was like, my body is like an M.C. Escher painting. Like, what? I don't know how this is working, but luckily I don't have to wear shapewear.
I mean, there's part of me that's like, I like being like, the fitness is not a bad thing. And the here's what I feel is like, I'm never going to lose weight to the point where it's like, oh, she's thin. Like, I'll never be thin. That's not my goal, is to be thin.
Yeah.
My feeling is just that like, when you're constantly being filmed, any edge you can give yourself to feel confident, you know, and when I feel like agile, fit, you know, like I see myself with, I mean, like it's the same, it's not, I'm not saying it's right or wrong at all. Like,
yeah,
but I'm keeping my makeup on into the night, you know? like it's fun.
Because people are nicer to me.
Yeah, it's like a fun, I think that no matter what, I will always represent like a bigger body on camera, just because my bones are like, I could lose as much weight as I want and people will be like, that is so brave that
that's
this chubby girl is
so,
just strutting around.
That's so crazy too, is like once you get on sets and stuff and you see what like TV skinny people look like in real life and you're like, someone get that person an IV.
Yeah,
like,
and Carol's second act premiering September 26th takes place in a hospital and
have
IVs.
That's true. I've been watching so much Everybody Loves Raymond right now, by the way.
Oh,
that's what
my
I'm going
God.
Through right
You've
now.
You've got to come to a taping and
I
hang out with
to.
Patty. She's so cool.
I have to.
Yeah, please. Tomorrow night. Well, you can hang out in here. Shauna will be here.
I'm going to be off on outline, I think. But it
what
depends
do you mean?
On
off on outline means do whatever you want. You're writing on Search Party right now. We love Search Party. I wrote on it last season. But off on outline means like work in the day and be a vixen in the night.
I also have like a bunch of time next month when I can probably come to a taping. But I also feel like I should finish watching the whole series before I meet her. I'm buying it on iTunes. Like, I am buying Everybody Loves Raymond season by season.
Oh, my God.
I've spent at least $100 on it so far.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that's what's... I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know. I haven't talked about this in therapy yet. It's
Wait,
a very
why
weird,
don't you do something
it's
where
not
you
streaming.
Can, oh, so you have to.
I mean, I don't have to.
You know, today, but I'm obsessed with Party of Five. And today, and I was telling Patty today that Jennifer Love Hewitt was like my crush before I knew I was gay, where I was like, she'll be my best friend. And she was like, oh, you know, I played her mother on Party of Five. And I just have such a bad memory that you forgot, or didn't connect it to the person that you know now. Yeah, exactly. It just like, it wasn't like, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
It was like, why don't I remember something that I was obsessed with?
I should know this. Yeah.
You have a good memory. You have a good memory.
No, I have a terrible memory. But like every so often, like with TV things, I can remember more TV things than other things. But even like yesterday, I was watching an episode of I've been watching Succession. I love Succession.
Oh yeah.
And I was watching an episode of Frasier that I've seen a million times. And I was like, oh my God, it's the guy from Succession playing Daphne's dad. And I was like, how did I not put that together when I started watching Succession that it was the same guy?
Wait, Daphne's dad is the old man?
Yeah, Logan Roy.
No way.
He played Harry Moon on Frasier. Two episodes.
I know that also you love Deviled Eggs and you love Frasier.
Frasier, yeah. And now I guess I love Everybody Loves Raymond.
Cool.
Yeah. It's weird because I started watching... I'll Have What Phil's Having first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I feel like I started watching Raymond as a way to sort of get inside his mind even more.
So when you watch I'll Have What Phil's Having, you're like, that's a cool guy.
I'm like, that's the biggest dork I've ever seen. I'm curious. And it's interesting.
Do you know Patty, when she worked on Everybody Loves Raymond, had four kids while she was working on it?
Oh, I knew she had at least two because I'm watching an episode where she's clearly pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. She had four babies.
Dang. Yeah. The entire time. Like all
like
four of them?
Whoa. Yeah.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that they
and
didn't
like
write any of those pregnancies in.
She's like super like basically like if anyone on this cast gets pregnant, like I will support you. Like we will like.
That's great.
She's very.
Were they cool with her about it?
Her being pregnant,
yeah,
but I think that her experience, like in the business, is very like now she's kind of like stepping into her power in a way, and like in a feminist way, where she's like, oh yeah, like men are treated so different.
Yeah.
She told me a story. Won't give the specifics because I don't know if it's. But she told me the story about this one show where like all the men on the show were like needed time off to shoot a movie or this or that. And then when like a woman got pregnant, they were like, oh, we'll write her off the show. Just like how that is like such a, it's a weird part of,
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With feminism, it's like, go be a boss. Go do your thing. But like, And I always view, I, when I was thinking about feminism, I was like, we're equal, man. Like, we're fucking equal. How hard is it to wrap your mind around that? We can do the same fucking job. But then you realize, like, oh no, like, part of the trajectory of a lot of people's lives are, it includes, like, having a family. And then once that happens, like, when I saw with Shauna, like, getting pregnant is, like, that's, like, you know, 9 months of your body slowly changing. And of course you can continue to participate in your career, but like at a certain point it becomes like that your body,
the society needs to accommodate for that. I can barely go to work when I have a hangnail. Like,
yes, I've seen you at work with a hangnail
and I'm like, you guys, I really gotta go home. If I don't get some clippers soon, I'm just gonna chew on this thing and then it's gonna be fucking blood everywhere.
yeah, like just a little alien in your body, and then you give birth to the baby. And then my therapist was saying it's like the shadow side of feminism is that we are like, you know, go have a career, you can have it all, but actually in like practically you can only be truly present, like, well, not like, that you can only be truly present, it's like,
well, feminism shouldn't fight for women to succeed in the exact same way as men, because really what we've set up for men is a model of success that women cannot possibly like and should not fit into. Like,
example is like the showrunners on this show, they're both moms, and I'm sure the hours are better for it. And the show is succeeding, like the machine of the show is running like smoother than any show that I've like written on, and in part because of this like matriarchal sort of like go have a life and then come back here refreshed and like participate.
I feel like for a while there was this like idea of feminism where it's like everyone should go be an asshole like a man and like
lean in
like all that shit, and it's like actually maybe like we value those traits because men have been making the rules for a really long time, and a lot of these like more traditionally feminine sort of ways of moving through the world, like being collaborative and helpful and apologizing, like maybe instead of telling women not to do those things and self-policing, maybe we should just be telling men to do those things more.
Yeah.
And maybe we have workplaces that don't value people being assholes.
Yeah.
Like maybe we just try doing things a different way instead of forcing women to try and act differently and be less happy. Like,
yeah, let's take the pros from both.
Yeah,
like the way that we rear men to be confident, let's put like that's a positive thing, and then like the way that we rear women rear.
Yeah. Let's but talk like, about rears.
To be like vulnerable
when I have
and,
too
like,
many devil legs.
When I have too many foods, I poo from my butt. So what's the perfect version of feminism again?
I don't know. We're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
I just think that like I think that this is just like a particular drum I've been beating recently because it's sort of like
just to paint the scene, Emily's got a drum in front of her.
Well, we're in the age of like, what do apologies mean and what do they do?
Yeah.
And who should give them?
Ooh, I have a good note on this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just keep on talking because I'm going to find this note.
Oh, I thought you were going to play another sound effect.
No. But I don't think I'm not itching to play another one. It's been too long.
You know, and it like people are having a really hard time figuring out how to apologize, even though it's actually not that hard, I think. It's just not pleasant to do. And like there's been a lot of like conversations and blog posts being like women need to apologize less, and my feeling is like I think just everyone needs to apologize more because apologies are a nice thing to do and they make people feel seen.
Yes.
And it's like this weird thing where like in like we end up like when we notice that women do something more than men that is like accommodating, like if there's like an imbalance, instead of like looking at like what men can do to change that imbalance, we police women.
Yeah.
And it's not effective, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, let's teach people how to apologize. Like,
okay, so I actually have the perfect thing.
Yeah.
My therapist told me the three ingredients to a good apology.
Ooh, yes, I love this.
Okay, so a good apology requires, number one, adequate acknowledgement of the harm that was created. Created, not intended, yes. is an important thing.
That's very good.
You know, there's so many versions of an apology that's like, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do this, but yes. yeah.
The harm that was created. Number two, genuine remorse. You genuinely feel that way. And number three, a commitment to do it differently in the future.
Correct.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's
great. Great apology.
Yeah. And like, I would add to that too. I mean, I guess it depends on the situation, but like, one thing that I feel like is, did you ever listen to?
And that's how you live forever, dog.
Did ever listen to?
Did you listen to Dan Harmon's apology?
No.
He like had a like Me Too situation that he created.
Okay. Wait, what was the situation?
Which was that
I'm going to go pee while you say this, but I'm going to hear it from okay. while I pee.
One of his former writers basically called him out for on Twitter because he was like, men are being bad and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I'll take your apology whenever you're ready to give it. Like, and she didn't like lay out what he did. She was like, you know what you did. Apologize whenever you want. And he took the opportunity to, I think he might have like at first kind of not given a good apology, but then he went on his podcast and he gave one of the best apologies that has, I mean, definitely the best apology that has like happened in the Me Too era or whatever, but where he basically, in addition to all those things you laid out, he talked about the harm that he created. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. You can listen to it if you want, because he actually did a very good job of, he recorded it at like a live show, like, and released it on his podcast, and also was very clear to his fans to be like, I was wrong. Do not try and have my back on this, like, which was good because his fans can be kind of intense, I think. But he, yeah, in addition to all of the like,
not actually
Louis C.K.'s apology was dog shit and he never said he was sorry. But in addition to all of those things, like, he acknowledged the harm that he created. He did the other two things. I forget what they are. But he also acknowledged the power dynamics that he wasn't taking into consideration at the time, and made a point of saying, yeah. like, I am now, like, showing what you are learning.
Yes.
In the moment is so important. Anyway, we don't have to talk about this.
Yeah, because people don't have to, because no one has the same experience. Like, you don't know.
Right. Like, every apology has some element of like, I didn't mean to do that. And it's like, well, that's useless unless you're telling me like, also like, the ignorance that led to me doing that is something that I'm going to also try to fix.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
When was the last time you apologized?
I feel like I do it every day.
Really?
I apologize to my dog.
I haven't gotten my apology yet. You know what you did. You know what you did.
I apologized to my dog this morning and I was like, what am I doing?
Your doggy.
I'm like, he doesn't know the word sorry.
Shana apologizes to Cowboy constantly and I'm like, why were you raised so Catholic? She apologizes to doors and dogs.
Sorry.
Sorry. Excuse me, she'll say to the dog too. And it's like, that's too many syllables.
I'm still working on getting better at apologizing.
Okay.
Like, I stop myself from explaining myself sometimes when I know that it's like, oh, right, nope.
That oh, getting better at doing too much apologizing.
Or no, I'm getting better at like giving real apologies when I need to. It never stops being work to be like, oh, right, my feelings right now are not what this apology is about. Because you always have lots of feelings.
Yeah.
But like, when you're apologizing to someone, it's about their feelings.
Yes.
And it's hard to stop yourself from being like, but I feel bad and I need them to know that, like, I'm a good person and I had nothing but love in my heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, I'm going to stop saying all of those things that are meant to soothe me and not them and just do the thing that they need.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to give other people things. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I hate that the language. I think part of the reason why I've been like picking that bone with that sort of ideology of feminism recently is because like I was never raised to be accommodating, and I was never raised to like bend over backwards for men. Mm-hmm. Like I was always allowed to be the way that I am, and like I am learning how to be a giving person and how to be a considerate person. Yeah, there's balance to it.
Flatly, this like, yeah, you know, be a fucking boss.
Yeah, and that like I know that there's value in that, and that like. Like as someone who's like learning how to do it, I don't like it being denigrated. Yeah. Because I'm like, no, I think that it's valuable to give to other people, and it's not necessarily a sign that you're being like oppressed to be no. like, oh no, I'm gonna try and be
well that compromise isn't like you giving in, it's actually yeah. just the way to function in any relationship.
Yeah,
yeah. Like my therapist, we went to one couples counseling, and I talk about it as if we've mastered couplery. But she, I've said it on the podcast before, but like she talks about like just what is good for the couple, which is like an interesting perspective, you know, because it's always about like what is right or wrong from your perspective, but it's like, no, what's good for the couple?
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like with Shauna, like I tend to be. I'm like a more controlling or more like, you know, like if Shauna has an idea for something, I'm like, okay, cool. And then we'll do that. And I'll support you and we'll push you. And it's like, no. What's good for the couple? Like what is actually good for the couple? Cause that seems like what would be good for you. And what, if you had an idea, what would be good?
Yeah, it's you acting on the energy that you want to act on.
Yeah, yeah. But like, you're not her manager or her, therapist, you're her partner. And what actually feels, what is best for the couple and what's best for the couple is like just to support her.
Yeah.
This Thursday, the conversation continues. Emily says this.
God damn it. If he knew how much women were talking about him in therapy, he would be so erect.
Sabrina says this.
When I looked out at the audience, it was like, oh, like first I had this like feeling of like, oh my God, it's so great. Like young people will save us. And then I looked out and it was still just like all white people.
And Sabrina's mom talks about poo-poo and pee-pee in a litter box. Join us Thursday, please.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.